Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the match preview ahead of Fulham versus Liverpool Sunday afternoon. I'm Steve Hall, delighted to be joined by Abby Ruckin and John Rees to have a look ahead to another big game. There are six of them left to go now, we know for certain, and the run-in continues, I suppose, on Sunday with Liverpool looking to get back into some kind of, I suppose, in winning ways. They actually won last night, although it didn't feel like it at the time. Thanks for coming in, guys. John, I'll start with you. Liverpool have found Fulham a tricky opponent this season. Obviously, this will be the fourth time we've played them. Two wins by the odd goal, of course, then the draw in the cup, obviously, that meant that Liverpool got through. In both the Anfield games, Liverpool had to come from behind as well a couple of times. Marco Silva's Fulham have been a problem for good Liverpool teams. This Liverpool team is feeling like a little bit on the ropes, so it's not going to be an easy one.
No, it's probably the fixture you want least, maybe other than Brighton, isn't it? Sort of after where we've been in the last few weeks. They're a good team. They're weird. They're very old school. They're very it seems obvious saying very Portuguese, the very like Mourinho back when he was good in the Premier League. You know, they love to sort of get about the pitch, they love to put a tackle in, and you know, in terms of the midfield and stuff, they like to dominate in there, which is all things they were struggling with a bit at the minute in terms of turnovers and stuff. I like them, to be honest. I think, you know, obviously he's got the history at Everton and at Watford, Silva, but he's put together a good side there. You know, I think probably where they are on the table at the minute doesn't really reflect, I think, sort of the season they've had. I don't actually know really many Fulham fans, but just the impression I've had of them over the season is that they're probably a lot better than what they merit in the league. I think they've had some good performances and not necessarily finished games. You know, they've got Muniz, who seems to be stepping up a bit in terms of filling that void left by Mitrovic. Obviously still got Pali in here, didn't leave in the summer. I quite like that fella Tim Ream they've got at the back of centre-half. So they're a good little side, and, you know, that's historically, I think, as well, where we've sort of come a cropper a bit under this manager, like those sort of mid-table teams that we should just be putting away. Like you say, never mind when we're in the form we've been in the last few weeks. So it could be a tough one. You sort of hope that they take the first 20, you know, against Atalanta last night, where we looked sort of back to where we should be, and that is the desire maybe to push on.
I suppose, well, absolutely. Like from a Fulham perspective, they are a bit of a, not inconsistent, but like they've won 12, but they've lost 15. Like, they don't really draw. You know, they're only six draws in the entire league campaign, which is what, you know, that's quite, the top teams have that, but they win more than they lose. Fulham have actually lost more games than they've won, but they have shown, like I say, they beat West Ham. That was a good win. They battered Tottenham. They did well against Liverpool as well. They're the type of team that, when, if you're not on it, they can punish you, and it feels like Liverpool might be going into this one not exactly on it.
I honestly think any side that are coming up against us at the minute are thinking this is such a good time to probably play Liverpool. I feel like morale sort of low, everyone looks absolutely shattered. I think if you were Fulham, you'd be rubbing your hands together at this, especially after the performance against Palace. I mean, I know we won last night against Atalanta, but obviously it felt like a a defeat because it obviously was overall, but I feel like they'll be rubbing their hands together at that. I mean, obviously, like you've just said, they've lost more games, but the form that we're in at the minute, I think it was when we played them at Anfield in the league, it took absolute worldies for us to win that game.
And Owen Trent.
Yeah, yeah. And did McAllister get one as well? Yeah, that was, yeah. You think you're just games with worldie after worldie, and that's what it took. And at the minute, you're looking at the way the side's playing, and no one actually wants to take a shot half the time. That's what's been frustrating me about Liverpool, is it just feels as though everyone's passing it to each other. No one wants to take on that shot. We could be 5-on-2 and you just still think that we're not going to score. So especially with it being away and we haven't got a lot of home games left and stuff like that, it's like it's games like this where you just feel like we might end up calling it a day on the title race if we don't. I'm probably feeling very negative right now after last night, because you just felt as though if we'd have made a comeback against Atalanta, it would have fueled us to go on. But you can even see how tired Klopp is now. You can see that. So if you're Fulham, you're probably rubbing your hands together now.
It's a good time, like I say. They know as well. There's no surprise, like I say, John. Obviously, we had the 4-3 at Anfield, which we referenced earlier. Liverpool having to come behind 2 late goals. Played them in the League Cup semi at Anfield again. We were 1-0 down. Willian scores early, and then a quick Liverpool brace, and then obviously we had the draw, which was actually good enough at Craven Cottage. But all those games, you look back to last season, we drew 2-2 at their place. We beat them 1-0 in May. That was a Mo Salah penalty late on, just a single goal. Like the Liverpool and Jürgen Klopp have had certain managers who, listen, they've done well against Liverpool's record against Fulham's not too bad, but they have certainly caused us challenges. Like Abby said, if you're Marco Silva with a 3 week to prepare, you've just watched Liverpool get looked shattered on Thursday night. Your team sort of half writes itself, you know. Look at Crystal Palace did. Look how they looked the other day. Look like again, some of the conversations they probably hear some of this like kind of stuff. You know, there's a little bit of doubts creeping back into Liverpool. If you're a Fulham fan and you're in that stadium, you know, like, these are after taking. I wonder, I imagine they're pretty confident, which is unusual because you're facing a side who are going for a league title, could easily go back to the top of the league table if they beat you, and yet I reckon you'd be half fancying your chances if you're a Fulham supporter.
Yeah, I think you would. I think, you know, as I say, I think they're a good team, and, you know, they've got a setup and it works, and they're efficient and they're all well drilled in what they need to do, and that's, as you say, that sort of caused us problems when we're at our best, never mind when we are where we are currently. But I think my only sort of trepidation, I think, after yesterday is just sort of the thing of what have we got left to play for a little bit, and by that I mean sort of from like the medical point of view. I know you can't just bring players in who are injured and have come in for cold, if you like, and make them play 90. But if I was the manager, no one have only got 6 games to go. I'd just be picking a team now and going, these are my lads, and I'll go with them. And I've got, you know, whatever he decides, 3 subs, 5 subs, whatever he thinks he's got to go with in terms of changing it up. I think at the minute we're sort of struggling to put an 11 together where if you say taking, you know, Gakpo off, all of a sudden the front three doesn't look like it's working anymore, but you're having 2 for legs. For me, I'd just be putting the team out as best he can and just going, right, we've just got to run this now and just see where we end up, because the momentum could potentially take us to where we need to go, if you like. But you know, there's not really much more to it for me. I think with Fulham, it's like the such a good team in terms of what they do, but we know what they do. Like, they're not going to change how they play football, even with everything that we've got going against us. They're going to play the way they play, you know, and look to get the ball sort of into those wide areas, get it into Muniz, and then, you know, you've got the threat of Paulinho coming from breaking from midfield in sort of a 10 position. That's it. So we know what we're going in for, and, you know, on a good day we've got all the players to cope with that. I just don't know if we're in the best position in terms of like the squad help, if you like, at the minute.
Let's try and scoot positive a little bit, absolutely, because there's a very good chance that, you know, they go, it depends on Arsenal, there's a chance they go top of the league. Obviously City aren't playing, we'll touch on that in a moment. But I want to read out some Fulham results. This is since March 2nd, Fulham results. Okay, beat Brighton 3-0, then they lose at Wolves, then they batter Tottenham 3-0, and then they draw with Sheffield United, and then they lose to Nottingham Forest, and then they lose to Newcastle, but then they beat West Ham away. They are like, they're as mad as a box of frogs, really. Yeah. What it does show you is like, they can be beaten, you know, some bad, you know, Forest aren't a particularly good team. Sheffield United are probably the worst team in the league, and, you know, they were 3-1 up, weren't they, in that game, and probably should have been Fulham. But then they beat Tottenham, they beat Brighton, 2 good teams. They struggled against Newcastle, it was a bit of a tight game. This is the point, it's quite, if you're Jürgen Klopp, you're like, listen, I understand they're a decent side, but they are where they are in the league table for a reason. You know, they are 12th. Yeah. Like, you should, if you're going to win the league title, you should be able to go to the 12th best team in the league and beat them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You could have said the same about the Palace result, getting beat by Palace. And I think it does look as though Fulham's results do flip-flop a bit, which probably could go in our favour. Hopefully, maybe they get a little bit too complacent, possibly, to think, oh, well, Liverpool are in bad form at the minute, getting out of the Europa League, you know, getting beat by Palace, obviously, other bad results. And maybe they're thinking, oh, yeah, we could do something here, and maybe they'll get a bit complacent, which I'm hoping that's what's going to happen. But obviously, they get to be at home in that game. But I just feel like we might be able to look at them results, and it's just that Spurs result that they had. It's a little bit iffy, but I don't know. It's just because of how poor we've played recently, and watching us last night, I find it really hard to imagine the idea that at the end of this weekend we'll be top of the league. And I don't know why. It's just watching the performances and imagining how tired our players, this squad, just look absolutely wiped out, and it's trying to imagine them like getting up the energy levels to be able to go in for this game and really go for it. It's mad. Like, it's literally been 3 weeks and all of a sudden I feel as deflated as they are, just from what I've been watching.
Changes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been such a drag watching it, and obviously it's been a drag for them, and you just feel as though I'm going to be knackered by the end of the weekend. If we manage to do it, I'm going to be changing tune. I'm going to be like, yeah, we're going to win the league. We're all positive. You know, obviously, the only thing we have to go for, and hopefully Arsenal and City are feeling crap after getting out of the Champions League. Obviously, I think the City aren't playing in the league on the weekend, are they? So, I don't know. I just don't feel very confident after watching last night. All I can think about is bloody... everyone being shattered. I'm tired thinking about it.
We could do a score and a goal. That'll help. The context of the game, by the way, we'll have a look elsewhere recently, but Liverpool, of course, go into the game third place at the moment, mm-hmm. on 71 points. Arsenal also on 71 points, but their goal difference is 8 better off than ours. And then obviously Manchester City are top of the league on 73 points, so 2 points clear. But obviously, like I say, they don't play this weekend in the league. They've played in the FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea. Arsenal will go to Wolves, of course Liverpool go to Fulham, so we'll touch upon Arsenal later on, John. But like, that is the season now, isn't it, really? If Liverpool want to win this league title, they need to win 6 games and hope someone does them a favour. We've been here before, and to be fair to this group of players, they've done this before. They've won those 6 games, just no one else did us a favour, unfortunately, and that's kind of where it's gone a bit awry. They've done the other way around, where they've dropped, who knows, those teams felt like they were in better form than this Liverpool side going into the weekend are. Abby was right before, like, though, you know, they look a bit tired. We saw Jürgen, he looked knackered and all that kind of stuff. But there are just 6 games to go. If there's anything left in them, now it's now or never, really. You know what I mean? If they don't win on Sunday, the season's going to peter out. And you're going to be thinking, oh, we're going to finish probably third, and is what it is kind of thing. It does feel like it's now or never for Liverpool.
It does, and I think, you know, there are positives. I mean, I think Robertson, since he's coming back, has looked phenomenal. And I think the two sorts of things the manager has to get right, I think, is sort of relying on the players who've been there and done it. Obviously, there's still some lads in this squad who it's either the first season playing for us, or it's the first season potentially in senior football, in some cases. But, you know, he needs to get it right in terms of the players who he's putting on the pitch, in terms of relying on that experience. As I say, Robbo the other day looked as if he wanted to win it. You know, he looked as if he was like, I'm going to drag the team forward to this. I'm sort of what's required. And then the other thing is just to take the positive of where we are, in the sense of we are where we are in the league, but also there's 6 games. You know, if you're the manager, and, you know, obviously the team obviously know he's going and stuff, for me, there's no... You don't need to keep anything back now. There's no sort of ace. You've got to keep up your sleeve thinking, well, what if we get a Europa League final? I need something to motivate them, or one last big player can sort of give one last big speech or whatever. You know, this is it now. You've got 6 games, and if you win all 6, and as you say, something happens, potentially we win the league. If not, you know, at best, maybe we get second. At best, maybe we get third. But, you know, when we set off at the start of the season, I don't think many of us were thinking that. We were hoping maybe for fourth, and that context is important. We've outperformed that massively. A lot of us would be disappointed if we finished third, I think, at the end of the season. But, you know, we are, I suppose, on paper, the third best team in the country at the minute. That's because, you know, where Arsenal and City are. But, you know, we have to put all that to one side and just focus on what we have in front of us. And the manager historically has always been really good at that, at sort of taking that focus on him and off the team. I just don't know if... My only concern, I think, to sort of temper my positivity, is just whether sort of we've got the time. I think if we had 10 games left, I could sort of go, right, you know, Trent looked really good last night for sort of 15 minutes against Atalanta. The last sort of five games, he'll run it. Whereas we've only got six games, so you sort of rely, you know what I mean? You're relying on a lot of people, sort of stuff coming off, but you know, you need a bit of luck to win a league, don't you?
Yeah, and you need to score goals, and that's the thing. We'll touch upon that. We'll look at a Liverpool team. I'll start with you, Abs, because obviously the no goal against Crystal Palace, the penalty against Atalanta. Before that, of course, we had the defeat at home to Atalanta. The last time Liverpool scored a goal from open play was Luis Diaz, and that was a flick on off a corner. It has been a while since Liverpool looked like. It's mad, really, because they were so free scoring at times, and all of a sudden it feels like the well has dried up. But they have to fix it if they're going to win. If they have to get that sorted, if they're going to win. But is it a case of, are they tired? Is it injured? What are you putting it down to? Is there anything we can do between Thursday and Sunday before they go to Fulham, where you think if he does that, that'll help tenfold? Because he's tried different players, he's tried different systems, he's swapped his fullbacks, he's swapped his midfield around. Hasn't really resulted in any major difference recently. Is there anything that you can put your that you'd be thinking I would want to see Jürgen or Liverpool do this?
Do you know what the sad thing is? It just looks as though the petrol's ran out of the tank just far too early. I don't know if that came from. I think you probably go back to getting knocked out of the FA Cup by United. It just looked like that took the wind out of us completely. And, you know, like I know United fans, and they're all saying they were able to derail our season, which is a real pain for them to be able to say that. But it does feel like if you go back to that game, that's when things just seem to just go, like the mentality seemed to leave. Like, obviously that doubt us to believe as things, everyone on the pitch just seems to look like they doubt that they can do it now. And I think that goes for up front, definitely. I think when you're looking at those sort of attacking players, it looks like no one's willing to shoot. Like you've got players at the back now trying to shoot just because everyone up front looks too scared. They're passing it to each other. Listen, I know Mo Salah is one of the best players in the world, I'm aware of that, but he's been poor. Like, he has been poor. He looks like he doesn't want to take the shot on. When he does, he misses ones that he really shouldn't be missing. I think it's only right for Gakpo to actually be playing, because it looks as though he's the only one that cares. He looks like he's got a point to prove at the minute. And Nunes just looks as though the goals have dried up for him, and frustration tends to be the main thing there. Diaz can do absolutely everything right, and then he can get in front of goal and then just doesn't manage to do it, and it's hard to watch. Like I said before, like, we can be 5-1-2 and still not manage to score about 40 times in a game and it won't happen for us. And I don't know what to put it down to me it just looks like a lack of belief now and a lack of energy, and it just looks as though they're all deflated. And maybe because there was so much belief to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna possibly go for a quadruple or a treble and that sort of thing, maybe getting knocked out by Man United in that FA Cup, it's put that doubt into them. And you've got to remember, like, this team haven't been playing together that long. This is a rebuild, so that mentality that is there from when we did win the big ones, I know there's still big players there that did it with us, but you know, there's got to be those other players that haven't got that sort of mentality in them, and it has knocked them for sick, basically. So it's good to see the likes of Trent, like you said, coming out, and I'm hoping players like that are going to get us the goals now, because looking up front, it's
someone's going to have to pull a finger.
Yeah,
we'll go through a team now then, John. Bear in mind, there's been, obviously, Liverpool play Thursday. There's no press conference today. We don't believe there's any other. It didn't look like anyone was injured, touch wood or anything like that, but a lot of it's going to depend on how they rock up. You know, the problem with cup competitions is when you go far and but don't win it, is that you've just loads of minutes in the legs and loads of minutes in the tank. Ultimately, for nothing, unfortunately, that's where Liverpool found themselves. All the effort they put in, although to be fair, they didn't run much in the second half, so they might be sound. The goalkeeper might be knackered after playing 87 passes or something, but everyone else, we have to try and pick a team. So Alisson will be in goal, of course.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Van Dijk will play. I think we'd all have that, of course. It's elsewhere is going to be interesting. We'd all like to see Alexander Arnold, but he himself admitted, I think he admitted in his interview, that he was tired. Mm. It wasn't a shock that he got taken off, but I don't know. It feels like it's one he probably needs to start, even if he can only give you a 40, if he can only give you a half, if he can only give you an hour. It feels like he's one who should start and be taken off rather than someone you'd want to bring on to influence again. Is that fair?
I think so, yeah. I think you can think you would Gomez, can't you? And then on the other flank, I think you've just got to cross your fingers with Robertson.
It's got to be Robertson. It's just meet Costas' last game. That might be him done for the season. Mm. Unless, other than Joe Gomez, of course, can play left back, but and we're doing with Robbo.
My only question mark, I think, at the back for me is, I feel bad saying this because I like him. I think I've probably got a slight question mark over Konaté. He just seems a bit.
My issue with Konaté at the moment, I'm going to bring it back to you now, is that teams are quite happy for him to have the ball. I've noticed that for the last few weeks now, teams aren't bothered if Konaté's got it, and he isn't bad on the ball, but he's probably the weakest of them. I actually think Kwanzaa's better than him. Kwanzaa will go. He can do the. He's a better passer, I think, and he's a better, I don't know, Joel Matip-esque dribbler into the box. Is he as good as a defender? Maybe not. And that's the problem up against Munoz, is that do you go with a better defender, or do you want to go with a fella who maybe provides you more out on the ball? What would you do if you were Jürgen Pickering? I think I'd go Kwanzaa, actually.
I think I'd go Kwanzaa personally, and if I was the manager, I think my concern actually is a little bit further forward, which I'll circle back around to what you've just said, but I think my concern is a little bit further forward in terms of the midfield, that we seem leggy and we seem like we need an extra man. And there's a few things there where you could change formation and maybe go forward in midfield. But one way you would combat that is by having someone who's comfortable with the ball in midfield, centre half. So if I was the manager, maybe I'd be looking at him and thinking, well, all right, Van Dijk can sort of defend 1v1, 1v2 potentially if he needs to, and he could handle Muniz. But having a lad next to him, as you say, like Kwanzaa, who can take the ball forward, would give us a bit. It lets the lads who are in front in midfield sort of push up a little bit and have to worry less about, you know, covering spaces.
What do you think, Ibu or Kwanzaa centre-back for you, Abs?
Probably Kwanzaa, I do think, but I do think because he's young, and I'm just thinking of what's on the line at the minute, and if we are going to come out at the end of the season with anything, it's a lot of pressure on a young lad, and obviously you could see the nerves got to him when he made that mistake against United, and you don't want another situation like that where something happens to him and then he takes another sort of thing. But I do get what you mean. Like, it does feel as though teams are happy for Konaté to just have the ball at times, and it does look, at times he has looked a little bit shaky, but I probably would go for Kwanzaa. Then I think that's probably going against the majority, though, you know, because I can imagine a lot of people are just saying you go with your solid, you know, like you go with that Virgil, Konaté, obviously Trent, and then Robbo. I think you sort of do go.
It is mad that was only yesterday. Was the third time they've all played together, the back five, and we're going to split it up already. He's played a lot. I think. Even all, it'd be fine. I'm just thinking on the ball. I think that
I don't bat an eyelid when it's either of them on the team sheet at the minute. I think it's the same up front as well. I don't really bat an eyelid if it mixes about a bit. It's just performances all round seem to be leggy and tired, so it's difficult to decide.
The fact that Wataru Endo didn't kick a ball last night, John, I think he has to play. I know he has been a bit up and down recently, and listen, he got hooked against Palace, and for the second time this season, maybe it's just there's a Crystal Palace thing that they have something against them. But it feels like if Liverpool, even McAllister's having a little bit of a dip in terms, he's probably going to have to play up further forward, but Endo has to come back in, I would suggest.
I think so, yeah. And I think, again, the type of team sort of Fulham are, you need someone like him, you need someone who's a bit combative and not against McAllister, who's been good at six, but, you know, he's a different type of six, isn't he? So I think you'd be looking at starting him. I think for me, the key one in midfield is if he's fit enough to sort of do the 90, I think for me, Jones has to start.
Really?
Yeah. I think he
I'm surprised by that.
Really?
Yeah.
Compared to Choberslai or?
Elliot has to play for me.
Well.
If I was picking the team, it would be McAllister and Elliot in front of Endo. I think Choberslai is in poor form, and I don't think Kurt's in good form either. We haven't scored a goal. We can't score a goal. I think Elliot's been the one, and if he's always coming off the bench, and I get it. I think I would go Elliot if it was me.
I agree. I think I'm showing my hand a little bit here. I think my thing is actually, I'm the same with Elliot. I agree. I think he should be playing. I'm a bench man, but also I've got a big question mark, which we can come on to in a minute, about Mo Salah.
I get it, Sal's, but Sal's going to play. Yeah. There's no way Harvey Elliott's playing right wing against Fulham, surely.
Salah plays, definitely.
And I think I get it, he's in bad form, but I think he has to play.
Yeah.
We haven't got no one else. I mean, you could throw Jota out there, but I mean, Jota looks rusty as anything as well. You move Diaz across. I think the fact that Abs is that because it's Thursday, Sunday, Jürgen referenced, and they're going to travel home, recovery day, training session down to London. Like there's no real time there to implement any major change or anything. You know what I mean? Like whatever they're gonna have to do, they're gonna have to roll that out again.
Yeah.
He hasn't got like a week where he can work on specific things. Like you could tell that he had a bit of time between Palace and Atalanta, because in the first half Liverpool did something different. Andy Robertson was up front and Salah was playing centre mid. They haven't really got any chance to do anything like that ahead of Fulham, so it feels like he might have to go with the tried and tested a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't got time for any sort of master plan that he's come up with overnight and taught us. Absolutely not. There just hasn't been the time, and I don't know whether going out to the competitions might have done us a favour in that way, that we might get a little bit more time for the last six games to be able to think of ways that we can try and grind out those last six wins, but just not for this one. Like you were saying about Endo, I just think that performance against Palace, you've just got to look at poor performances, but you've got to bring him in and be able to say, right, you need to prove yourself now, it's fine, it's done, you know, you've had your bad performance, it's okay, you just need to try now and show us what you can do, because we've all seen what Endo's capable of. It's absolutely brilliant. Obviously I've got nothing against McAllister in that position, but I'm with Steve. I think you do need him further forward, and I probably think Elliot's probably a good shout. Actually, I like it when Elliot is behind Salah. I just think Soberslai is just been poor. I think he's been really poor. I wouldn't say that it looks like he's fatigued like the others. It just looks as though it's sloppy to me. It looks completely sloppy. Sometimes he's not even looking at where he's passing the ball. He probably misplaces the ball about three times every game that he's playing, and it just looks slow. I think it looks as though he's playing walking footy sometimes. I mean, not to completely like slag off one of our players who I'm trying to get to go and win the Premier League title, but he's one that I've got really frustrated with. And he's one that I would say, right, okay, you need to sit out now for this one.
Another one from Yusuf here in the YouTube comments, what about Trent in midfield? I suppose, John, if he was fitter, maybe, but I mean, it's certainly an option. You could Joe Gomez can easily go into right back, and you could go Trent, Endo, McAllister, or if you wanted to, like, you know, and against Fulham, that's what Liverpool won the game, because Endo, come on, didn't he scores, but also it freed Trent to go forward as well, and it had a little bit of an impact there. Whether he's fit enough to do it, I don't know, but it's certainly an option that Jürgen's got available to him if he wants to.
I think he has. I think the thing for me with the whole midfield thing, and I think we had this sort of about 9-12 months ago when we had the season we had last year, and we were struggling a bit. Is for me, I think the problem for at the minute is the midfield. I think all the lads who are in good form look knackered, and we're relying. I think where Endo got found out at Palace was we were relying on him basically to make the plays, and they were just putting lads around him and going, "We're just going to pick this off." You need people who can sort of have the ball, I think, at the minute, and just sort of be comfortable that they're not going to lose possession, which is why I brought Jones up. But, you know, we need someone like him, like a Trent, like a Harvey Elliott, who's comfortable with receiving the ball and laying the ball off, and, like I say, isn't going to lose possession, but can also get about the pitch a bit. You know, start of the season, Soberslai was fantastic at that. You know, he's not been that for a while now. So can you find someone who can give you that for 60, 70 minutes? Because I don't think you don't need to be that for the full 90, I don't think. I think if we get our noses in front and you sort of build up a bit of a head of steam, we could probably potentially, you know, take the game away from Fulham, really. But you need someone who can do that. Trent, for me, I think, I don't know, I think it's probably a bit too soon for him. I know he's obviously had that discussion with Neville sort of over the break and stuff, saying about playing there, but I just think where he's been playing, sort of a full back, but also set plays and stuff for me.
I was trying to think. Well, I think he has to play it right back. I don't. If we're worried about his leg at right back, you've got to worry about his legs in midfield. You know, you might get 60 minutes out of him at right back and half an hour out of him.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he plays in midfield anyway. You're just wondering if he needs to. Up front, then is the interesting one, because like in terms of form, fitness, I'd say the fit ones are out of form. Mm. There's a couple of lads coming back, and even like Gakpo and Diaz are probably in the best form, but neither of them are actually prolific. Like, I saw Josh Williams speak today, didn't he? You know, Gakpo played well yesterday, both games against Atlanta. We haven't had a shot.
Yeah.
Like, he isn't, I don't know. Like, I think if it's me, it's Diaz, Salah, Nunez, I think. But you could talk me into anything here, because I'm not, I think Diaz is the only one actually I think should nailed on start.
Yeah,
yeah. 100%.
The rest of it is, I don't know, John. Yeah.
I've got a big thing. I think at the minute that I want to see Jota play. I want to see him start.
He was not. He was miles off. I mean, he was, but is he good? What's he got in his legs? Jürgen said he had a little bit of a knock, didn't he? And that's why he only played 20 yesterday or whatever he come on for, because Liverpool chasing a goal. And listen, he looked pretty poor when he come on. The whole team did, but for someone to go from only having 20 minutes in their legs in a game where you need goals to suggest he could start on the Sunday seems unlikely, really, mate. I would guess.
It's the problem, isn't it? I think the problem we're having is you know, without sugarcoating, it's putting the ball in there. I think he's the best finisher at the club. And I want him just in and around the box. I don't necessarily want him running. But as you say, it's a training thing, isn't it? We haven't really got time to work on anything like that. If it was me, I completely agree. I think Diaz has to start. I think he of the front three who've been playing, he's the one who sort of every game, I think, well, he did this, he did that, or, you know, or even sometimes if it's just application, I think he's putting himself about enough to warrant being there. Where I struggle, I think, is sort of the Nunez question, because I think you've got the thing at the minute of like, he's mad and loads of stuff happens around them, but then he's getting all these chances and just skying them. And it's like, I think it's hard, isn't it? Because I think if it's like the start of the season, you can sort of run through that a bit and be a bit like, oh, he'll get into form. Because of where we are in the season now, I think it's becoming a bit of a monkey on his back, really, that people are getting on his case a bit, being like, lads, you're getting like 4 1-on-1s here, where it's just you and the goalie. Yeah. You need to be putting these away. And I don't know whether that'll get under people's skin a bit if he does that for 90 minutes is my only concern. If it was me, I'd be starting Gakpo, I think, up front. And I want to say Jota, but I agree with you. I think the fitness thing, and obviously Mo being there and sort of the guaranteed start, it'd be like, I think it'd probably be, I would pick something like that. But
I think I'm with you on that one.
So Diaz, Salah, Gakpo.
I just think Jota's just looked not to what we were expecting.
He's clearly
yeah, but we've all been crying out for him. That's the thing. I even said it, I was like, do you know what, if we had Jota in these games, we win these games. And then he's come back as just as tired as the rest of them. He's come back and literally just been as poor as the rest of them.
Played a lot of FIFA while he's been away.
I think I'm still
going Darwin, just because I was concerned last night that the lack of chances created
Yeah.
When he's on the pitch, chances are made. Now, by the end of yesterday, Liverpool were out of ideas. And in the end, he was going long to him and it wasn't going to work. But for the most part, I agree, he hasn't been in good form in front of goal. But I think if this team, it looked like to score a goal or two, they've got to create like 20 chances anyway, given how it's gone. So it might need to be the volume type thing, John, if that makes sense. They're probably going to have to create a lot to score them, given the form they're in. He is the one who tends to help get chances created.
Well, what I didn't mind seeing yesterday, it was that dynamic of having Robertson and Trent a fullback again, because it gives us width and it lets you have other lads come inside. And some of the problems we're having, I think, in midfield are sort of mitigated if Diaz and Mo can go narrow. So if you can have that for sort of 40, you know, 50, 60 minutes of both of them going wide and essentially playing like wing backs or wingers, and you've got Nunez up front, then because then you've got him to hit, and he can, you know, you can pick up second balls that he'll knock down, or he might do something, you know what I mean? So I think it's something definitely something we could do. I just think, as I say, I just think the form in front of goal at the minute is just such an issue. It's like, even if it was a tapping, you know, if he had 3 or 4 chances and just scored the tapping, I'd be happy, or, you know, like an header or something. But he just, you know, I can't even say he doesn't help himself, because he does. You know, he does mad things and creates mad chances. It's just the easy bit he doesn't do. He does all the hard bits.
I think against these, you're going to need someone who goes in behind them. I don't think playing the ball into Gakpo's feet at this moment in time is what Liverpool needs. But you are right. He's probably he's actually looked in good nick.
It feels harsh to drop Gakpo when he's the only one who looks like he's got any energy left in the tank. Or
he's playing left back, isn't he? No. Maybe he can start there. Yeah. Interesting one. Right, let's have a little look elsewhere before we wrap up. Obviously, the main fixture that we're all going to be looking at in terms of the Premier League, obviously, I mentioned before, City don't play. Arsenal have a tricky one. 7:30 away at Wolves on the back of getting legged around the Allianz in midweek, albeit a couple of days. Was it a day before, wasn't it? Was it Wednesday?
Wednesday
night, yeah. They're another one, John, whose season is now hanging by a thread. They obviously got beat. Convinced. I actually thought Villa battered them second half. They didn't do anything of note really in the Allianz. They were okay without ever really looking like the goal threat. And they're in the same boat really. Their fans are starting to talk about goals and what's happening in front of goal. Wolves away at 7:30 is no battle of laughs.
No, I think again, there's a couple of fixtures I think in the league where off the back of a bad result you'd be like, I don't fancy playing them. For me, Wolves is one.
Saturday night.
Yeah,
it's big and they go big for us. The thing, you know, you see their ground and stuff, and which I'm into, by the way. I think they've had quite a good season. Again, I don't know a lot of Wolves fans, but from what I've seen of them, I've always been impressed.
They're about Fulham. We're talking about going to Fulham. They're about Fulham.
But it's a hard one. I think the thing with Arsenal and you know people, I think people in our fan base have probably been saying this for a bit longer than their fan base haven't. Fair enough. Is I think. We all sort of thought it would come a cropper at some point, and it was how they reacted to it. The difference, I think, between us and them, and listen, they can learn this over time, like, you know, they're still a very young team and they've got a relatively youngish manager, is, you know, every season where we had a knock, the first thing the manager said when we started the next season was, I can't believe how well they've all reacted to it. They're great. Do you know what I mean? They've come back stronger. You don't get that with Arsenal at the minute. They all just look knackered, and you know, Dreads. I think Dreads might go down again off the back of it. Or we've been here before. We know what happens now. And as you say, against Villa, second half they looked awful. Like it wasn't that Villa outplayed them in the sense of, you know, they had a plan. Arsenal just looked horrific. So it could be a game too many for them. And I think, you know, there's a lot of good players at Wolves who can do damage, and individually on their own do damage. I think so. It could be a tough one. I think I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, any results, you know, if they win, fair enough, they've turned the corner. But if someone, you know, if I was opening my phone later and it said that, oh, they drew 2-2 or they got beat 2-1 or whatever, I wouldn't be shocked either.
I suppose with City not playing abs as well, like we saw last weekend, it was the perfect weekend for Manchester City. They get a relatively comfortable win against Luton, and then they watch Liverpool lose to Palace at home, and then obviously Arsenal lose to Villa. City, obviously, they'll be looking at this league table, this league fixtures rather thinking, even though we're not playing a game, and Liverpool going to Fulham and Arsenal going to Wolves, they're both games that if they were the way around, you'd be thinking, you know, there's a chance there for them. Like Liverpool play twice in the league before City even play again in the league, I think that's right in saying.
Yeah.
Given that how it's all panned out. So it's massive. It's equally as massive for Arsenal really, they're in the last chance alone as well. But I don't know, I've got a sneaky feeling they might drop points at Wolves.
I think Arsenal definitely drop points. I think
at
this
Wolves.
Is yeah. I think this is it now for them. I feel like the wheels have fallen off, and I mean that's probably a sly thing to say when we're probably in the same situation. We look just as tired as they do, but there's a lot of players in our team that have been able to get back up at times like this. And do you know what it's like to, you know, well, I mean, I know Arsenal did it last season, but it just doesn't look like they've, in some ways it does look like they've learned from the mistakes, but in a lot of ways it doesn't. At the same time, they all look really deflated at this moment, and I think when you're going out of the Champions League like that, it's worse than what we've gone through going out of the Europa League against Atalanta. I mean, they might say it's more embarrassing to go out against Atalanta in the Europa League.
I suppose the difference is that we were out last week.
Yeah,
we'd all got our heads around the fact that we was already out. They went to the Allianz with a massive opportunity.
Don't get me wrong, I probably wanted them and City to go through just so they had something else to focus on. Definitely you'd rather that they were doing that, but I'm hoping it's going to have the opposite effect now. Either way, it was going to be okay, well, they've got something else to focus on now, or oh well, they're both going to be miserable now, and we've ended up in the same situation. So it's just who can get themselves back up from that and capitalise on City not playing.
Yeah, fingers crossed it does. With that being said, then, do you think Arsenal will drop points as well? Me and Abby tend to.
I think they will. Yeah, I think it's a struggle. I think for them to pick themselves up so soon to and do something convincing.
Let's flip it over then, because a lot of people will be saying the same about us. No, they will. Of course, they will. Listen, he's always said doubters are believers. I think a lot of us are doubters at the moment. And now there's a lot of given how the last eight games or so have gone, John. My head is saying 1-1. And my heart is saying 2-1, nick one. But yeah. I don't see a world where Liverpool are comfortable 3-0 winners,
no.
or just stroll in the park Premier League game, because we haven't shown anything like that really. So how do you see the weekend going for the Reds?
I think it'd be a tight one. I think it's one of them, like, as much as we all hate it, we're going to ride our nerves for the last six games of the season and just see what happens. But, and I'm having flashbacks to Southampton a couple of seasons ago here. But I think it'll be a tight game. I think I want to believe we've got enough to do it personally, and I think we'll know sort of within the first 5-10 minutes what the game's going to be like. That first 20 against Atalanta gives me hope that there's something there that mm-hmm. we can sort of pull it out. But I don't know, you know, I want to say 2-1 to Liverpool, but you know, as you say, if you said 1-1 and it's been a tight game and not much has happened, you know, I wouldn't be shocked.
All results are possible here. How are you feeling?
1-1, probably us getting a penalty, not even a goal in overplay. That's probably exactly what's going to happen. Probably concede early. I hope I'm wrong as well. I'd like to be more positive, but
I just keep thinking, like, at some point it's got to. Is it just going to be this for like the last 10-15 games of the season? You know what I mean, six games is a long time. I'm with John in that. I'm taking a half from the first half against Atalanta. I don't think Fulham can do what Atalanta did to us in the second half. Mm. Completely nullify. Yeah. Like out the game. So, but listen, all results are possible. I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, if we lost, drew one. Like, there's not any. I was genuinely shocked when we didn't beat Crystal Palace. I know we were in a good form, but I thought Liverpool would still find a way to win. This weekend, I think all outcomes are as equally as likely as each other, really.
The big boom for me is the goalie being back. I think
yeah.
There's been a few
he
questions.
Was brilliant yesterday. I mean with the ball he had all of it, but just his saves.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not
that one that didn't count because it was offside. When he saves Van Dijk's own goal, was outrageous.
It was wild, did that. And I was going to say, that's nothing against Kelleher, by the way. I think Kelleher's been fantastic, you know, obviously stepping up this season. But I just think having him behind you, as you say, some of them saves against Atalanta were world class. And I think if you're looking at Fulham and how Fulham are going to do damage, it's either from distance with, you know, Pereira and stuff, and possibly Willian if he plays, or it's going to be a big lad up front.
He's a good player.
So having him fit, I think, is a big help for us.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do with the goalkeeper. You might need him. I'm sure they will at some point, because probably within the first 5 minutes of the game, that's when teams tend to be at their most deadly against us. Right, fingers crossed Liverpool can get the job done. If you want to check it out, the watch along this weekend, the kickoff is 4:30 on Sunday, of course. So join Paul and Chris in the studio for the live watch along of Fulham vs Liverpool. Be live on YouTube at 3:15 with the uncensored match build-up reacting to the team news, and then again at 4:15 for the entirety of the watch along, and then afterwards loads of stuff on YouTube. There'll be Red Men Plus. I'll be hosting the Red Men Plus shows as well, as hopefully Liverpool can get the season back on track. Thanks to Abby, thanks to John, thanks to all you guys for watching or listening, and we'll see you all soon. See you in a bit.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.